Hello and welcome to Brain Fry, India's first trivia podcast. Fasten your seatbelts and put on your thinking caps because the show is about to begin. Welcome to Brain Fry. This is your host and quiz master, Aditya. Did you know Sialkot in Pakistan makes 70% of world's footballs? Or did you know that every Levi's jeans has a red tag at the back to differentiate from other denim companies? If you didn't know such editorial and sartorial kind of facts, then you have come to the right place, the right podcast, Brain Fry. The format of the show is quite simple. As your host, I will tell you and our contestants some stories. Each of the stories will have clues hidden inside them and they will be followed by a question. The contestant to crack the most questions wins. Having said that, let me quickly remind you the true real objective of the show is to gain knowledge, to be curious about the world around us. So if you get to know something really cool, some interesting trivia from today's episode, you are the true winner. Now let us get started. Last time round, we were joined by Tanaya Narendra and Pranav Joshi. So in the first leg, Pranav was leading 3-1, a slender lead that Tanaya can very easily overcome. If you haven't heard the previous episode, do check it out first, you know, for continuity purposes. Otherwise, you can get started with this also. Without any further delay, welcome to Brain Fry. So the second part starts with Tanaya. We flip the order. This question is quite fun. I enjoyed this question. It's about a guy called Beat Wampler. Beat as in B-E-A-T. Wampler as in W-A-M-P-F-L-E-R. Okay. Beat Wampler is a Swedish cheese enthusiast whose experiment might leave you in crackers. Yeah, that's me trying to do like some crackers and cheese. But yeah, whose experiment might leave you in crackers. According to Wampler, while bacteria is responsible for the formation of taste of cheese, he was convinced that humidity, temperature, or nutrients are not the only things that influence taste. Mm-hmm. So he tried out an experiment to test the effect of a particular phenomena on the taste of cheese. Now, this phenomena's effect on flora and fauna have been done fairly. People have tested this phenomenon, as I said, on flora and fauna. But no one has done it in the field of gastronomy. So it is quite new. The University of Arts in Bern, B-E-R-N, the University of Arts in Bern helped him do his experiments. Even they were skeptical at first. Okay, Beat has lost it. But they said, you know what, let's just do it. But only when they started doing these experiments, they discovered that there is a field in chemistry which studies the effect of this particular phenomena on reactions and on solid bodies. What phenomena did Beat Wampler think can affect the taste of cheese?
So Beat Wampler said,
cheese ka taste can be, like, it's generally understood that taste will be depending on the bacteria, and bacteria will be affected by temperature, humidity, and what nutrients are there. That all of these things combined will impact the taste. But he said there's another phenomena which could impact the taste, and wanted to do research, and people said, you know, we haven't used it in food items. We have seen it affect on animals and plants, but like a food item is unheard of. University said, yeah, sure, if you want to do experiments, sounds interesting, go for it. But only later they realized that it is actually a field of science testing the impact of this particular phenomena on solid bodies and even reactions. So there's a chemical reaction happening. If you put it through this phenomena, can it cause it to change or evolve? What phenomena did Beat Wampler use? Or alternatively, you can also tell me, what is this field of chemistry called?
Is it electricity?
That is close. Pranav, do you have a guess? That isn't the correct answer though.
Passing a voltage or a current through.
That's a great answer, but no. He was much more like simpler or dumber, keh sakte ho, iska idea. That's why probably the university was like, what are you saying?
Yeah. I was thinking completely different though. I was thinking like effect of decomposition on, because decomposition on solid bodies and decomposition.
What is decomposition? What is decomposition?
Breakdown. Organic breakdown.
Organic breakdown. So like basically like how like a body putrefies after death, right? Decomposes.
Sadan.
Mm. Or like how even like.
I'm sorry,
sadna, basically sadna. Sadu cheese.
Yeah.
Sada hua cheese, how that would affect the taste. Because a lot of cheese, they ripen or they let mature, which is basically they let it like under controlled environment, sadate cheese ko, and then they see how it tastes.
No, it is an external sort of a phenomena or thing which acts on the cheese. So Tanaya is correct. She was closer. Like she went with electricity. So it is something external which is put on this block of cheese.
So it can be brining, because cheese is brined, as are organic materials are also brined. Kuch bahar se aise lagate hain. Kuch process hoti hai ki koi substance hoti hai.
It's not a substance. It's definitely not a substance. I'm thinking, can I call it a process? It's basically something which exists in nature, uski presence mein. It might be actually way too vague now, so I can give out the answer if you guys
have run out of...
No,
let me think.
So maybe rainfall or something, like the effect of rain on cheese.
Interesting, but no, interesting.
The effect of vapor? Vaporizing
close?
Cheese?
Well, not close, but yeah, you guys are giving some great ideas right now. There's a field of chemistry here.
Let's wager a guess. Is the field called spectrochromatography?
What does that mean? What does that mean?
I think spectrochromatography mein you analyze the, like you kind of reverse engineer the whatever you made. I could be very wrong, but you analyze the components. You figure out what are the components of the particular thingy you're using.
I think it's sort of more dumber than that. And I won't call it dumber because now there is a full-bodied research and there is an entire science to it. So I won't call it dumber, but it's much more simpler than that. So Beat, his name is Beat Wampfler. He played music to cheese and said, cheese ka taste change hoga. And people are like, how is it even possible?
Wow.
But the university said, go ahead with it. And then they found a field of chemistry called sonochemistry, basically. Can sound change chemicals? Can sound change the chemical composition of things? The result is still out there, but Beat Wampfler wanted to change the taste of cheese by making it listen to music. And this isn't the only time sonochemistry has been worked in. In 2006, a small village in Gujarat claimed that a very popular number by music director, singer Himesh Reshamya called Jhalak Dikla Ja was not only a favorite with the younger generation, but also with those long gone, the ones in the spirit world. The villagers thought the spirits and ghosts in the region considered it as an invitation to make an appearance. By if you play Jhalak Dikla Ja, the ghosts will make a jhalak. And if that is...
I get it, honestly. If I was a spirit and someone played that, I would totally make an appearance.
And according to a report in Indian Express, farmers in Uttarakhand's agricultural fields started playing songs by popular Punjabi rapper Yo-Yo Honey Singh and other Punjabi singers to drive away wild animals from their fields. And the strategy is apparently working. Although on questioning, one of the farmers said, we usually play party songs, but sometimes we also play bhajans. And it seems to be
But you know, on the non-funny side of things, there is a lot of research to show that if you play like classical music to plants and to babies who are inside the womb, it has really good effects on their growth.
Yeah.
Most of the data is completely non-conclusive because some people say bahut achha result hai, some people say this is bullshit. But we have a lot of data to suggest that it works.
Yeah. I've heard about the plants. I didn't know the babies thing.
Yeah. The babies inside the uterus. So pregnant.
I think that like in school there was a whole chapter on like, I think in English, there was a whole chapter on like how this woman used to play like a violin to her plants and how the plants like grew up in a very shitty environment, so to say. But I could be wrong. Maybe I read it.
No, I'm sure. Time. Because I've heard this a bunch of times.
I don't even need a violin to destroy my plants. It's just me, my presence. But no, as you can see, there are a couple which are like flourishing right now.
Are they real?
At least it seem like.
I was going to ask.
They are. That's my dad's work. So give it like 15 days. It'll be. But yeah,
I killed a succulent once, and I don't even know how that's possible. How
succulents
do you kill
are very
succulent?
Easy
succulent?
To
too
kill.
Too much water?
Succulents
too much water?
Yeah, shockingly easy to kill. I have
probably watered it a bit much.
I have 6 plants in this room. I haven't killed one of them, but every time you give me a succulent, I'll kill it.
I'm like, it's supposed to be, like, at least on paper, it's supposed to be a plant that, like, can take anything, but clearly not.
Get a snake plant. Put it in any damn corner, or a ZZ plant. Put it in any damn corner of the house. It will thrive.
Oh.
And ZZs don't need watering. Like, you need to water them, like, once in 2 weeks. It doesn't need sunlight. So, it will thrive under fluorescent light. And snake plants also purify your air.
It'll grow out of, like, spite, basically. It'll have the good old poo complex. कौन है ये जिसने मुझे मुड़के नहीं देखा?
सूरज नहीं है कोई बात नहीं है पानी नहीं है कोई बात नहीं है
कोई बात नहीं मैं दिखाएगा.
यूपी बिहार का यूपीएससी तैयारी करने वाला लड़का है.
Play next time played yo-yo Honey Singh also on top of that the plant and then you survive.
तरफ पे जाएगा please मेरा plant भी अच्छे से उग रहा है.
All right, Pranav, the next question is for you. It is about sort of a natural phenomena. It is about a strong, dry, hot wind called Khamsin. If you have to go literally in Arabic, it just means 50. 50. So Khamsin, which means 50 in Arabic, is a strong, dry, hot wind affecting parts of Egypt and the Levant. Levant is the area of Israel and Jordan. In the spring months, it is said to blow for 50 days. Possibly why it gets the name 50, and it is said to cause high temperatures and sandstorms. In Hebrew, it is called Ruh Kadim. I hope I got the name right. Basically, Ruh Kadim means the east wind, probably because of the direction from which it blows. The wind has changed history many times. When Napoleon invaded Egypt, it caused a lot of issues. And when there was a World War II campaign in North Africa, it caused a lot of issues for the Allied forces. However, what I want from you is, you have to tell me what is the most, or sort of the very famous incident in mythology that this wind is said to have caused in the region. So Khamsin blows for 50 days in Egypt, Israel, Jordan. Very strong, dry, hot wind causes high temperatures and sandstorms, has changed history in different places. Napoleon had issues there. During World War, they had issues there. They couldn't fight because of how strong the winds were. And it is said that a certain incident, a very specific famous incident in mythology, is said to have been caused by this wind. What incident am I speaking about?
Okay, so you said near Levant and Egypt, so has to be like Middle Eastern kind of a thing, has to be, I'm guessing, like Jewish, so like the Exodus, I would say, the Moses, like they all, I think,
the
not the parting of this. Yeah, but like, I mean, they left for Egypt, right? Like during the whole Passover thing that happens. I'm very hazy about the details, but I'm guessing this is the incident, the Exodus.
You are in the ballpark. I think between the two of you, you did give out the answer. It is the parting of the Red Sea.
Okay.
So Tanaya, you said the word, but he was around the thing. So
I'll get half a point
of the Israeli. Yeah, yeah. I think between the two of you, you did a gesture of parting of the Red Sea. And it is said Israelis led by Moses are running away from the pursuing Egyptians as per the book of Exodus. Again, not my strongest suit mythology. Moses holds out his staff and the God parts the waters of Yam Suph, which is Yamsuph, which traditionally is believed to be Red Sea. So yeah, that was the question. Tanaya, the next question for you is really difficult.
हाँ पता था मुझे मतलब मैंने सोचा ही क्यों था कुछ और होगा
no but it's really interesting see the idea of these questions is like the way I have at least thought of them is to see कि पीछे क्या चल रहा है which I think is more like a fun story than the actual question at times.
Listen, I'm a very happy loser, so okay? My shirt literally says, get in, loser. So
I saw us.
It was supposed to be a like a battle cry at Kanav, but never mind.
I am a terrible loser. I will like break things if I lose. I will not surface for the next 6 months after I lose. I'm a terrible loser.
I have to post this on my socials that I lost you. Anyway.
No, we'll only put the questions that where you won. For Thank each you. Of your profiles, I'll give you videos of where you're winning.
Wait, let me record this part quickly.
I have one question. But anyway, go ahead.
The next question is...
Oh my God, that one question French. I won is Backstreet Boys. Oh no. The fuckballs of the internet are going to erupt. Anyway, go on.
The next question is about the French Atomic Energy Commission.
Thanks.
Oh wow.
Thank you. Wow. I totally know the answer.
So in mid-2016, the French Atomic Energy Commission created a thermal imaging camera capable of detecting mechanical anomalies. French Atomic Energy Commission made a camera, thermal imaging camera, capable of detecting mechanical anomalies. These were designed to be put on the side of roads or could be carried on motorbikes.
Okay.
So, yeah, the road ke side pe, or they could be carried on motorbikes. And they were to be used on some specific routes in the month of July.
Okay.
So, France, month of July, they were going to be used, these highly advanced thermal imaging cameras to detect mechanical anomalies. Now, why was it being done? Because of a particular rumor which had been going around since 2010s. But recently, a Belgian called Frank Van den Driesch, Driesche, basically this lady was the first confirmed case of it happening. There had been rumors for the longest time. And this lady, Frank Van den Driesch of Belgium, was the first confirmed case. And this led the French into investing into this technology because they were like, we can't let this happen again. There were rumors. Now we have a confirmed case. There were even talks of making this a criminal offense. Like you could actually go to jail for it. What is being spoken about that the French got so animated about it? And if you can, what is this phenomena that we are speaking about?
This was used to spot mechanical anomalies, you said, right?
Yes, yes, mechanical anomalies. So France made these cameras to be deployed on roads, on the side of the roads, or on motorcycles, or around roads is what I would say, on certain specific routes in the month of July. The reason okay. they had to do this was because there had been some rumors of these mechanical anomalies from 2010s. But then they did find this mechanical anomaly recently with this lady from Belgium and it blew up and the French were like, you know, we need to investigate in it. We need to invest in this technology so that it never happens. These mechanical anomalies don't happen. I'm using the term mechanical anomalies quite like liberally here. I don't want to use a particular phrase here, but kuch toh gadbad hai, mechanical gadbad hai. And there were even talks of making it a criminal offense. So if there is this gadbad that you're causing or you've done, you can go to jail. What so is saying, being spoken about?
So you're saying France and you're saying particular routes. So is it related to the Tour de France at all?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So that is the correct answer. Now, if you guys, both of you want to do, like what exactly had happened that they were sort of investigating? What happened in the Tour de France which led to, you know, French Atomic Energy Commission to come into the picture. And this was interesting for me. I did not think it was possible.
People using some sort of a speed booster of some kind yeah. in their bike.
That is the correct answer. So there were motors which are hidden inside the bikes. So when they used these cameras, they could see the motors inside, and this lady was the first one to have been caught with it.
Wow.
She has already quit cycling, but I mean, one would think that doping would be tough in Tour de France after
Lance Armstrong.
I forgot the name of him. Armstrong. Lance Armstrong got caught. So instead of doping, taking things into your body, they started modifying the bikes in such a way that inside the bike was hidden a motor, which would just give you a tiny bit of advantage, which I thought was fascinating. And yes, you are right. That was the correct answer. And talking about doping, I have a couple of very interesting facts. There was a basketball player called DJ Cooper. He represented the state of Ohio in US. In 2018, he needed to pass a doping test to be able to play for the Bosnian national team. So maybe he had a chance to play for the, like, become a Bosnian citizen and play for the Bosnian team. And before that, he had to pass a doping test. To the astonishment of the medical team, his urine reportedly had traces of something called as GHC, a hormone that women usually produce during pregnancy.
HCG.
What is it?
HCG.
I think I got the order. The small GHC is Ulta. It's HCG. Yeah. So what our hero had done to, he was doping. So to get away from the test, he took his girlfriend's pee or wife's pee and submitted it without knowing that she was pregnant.
Oh, shit.
And then when the test came and they're like, how is this guy pregnant? And then they asked him like, whose sample was it? He's like, nahi, mera hi tha, mera hi tha. Until he broke down and said, it is actually my partner's sample.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
People with testicular cancer also produce higher amounts of HCG. So if you, as a joke, pee on a pregnancy test as a man and it comes back positive, you need to run to your doctor because you might have cancer in your balls.
As a joke or as a...
As a dude, if you have, if you're peeing on a pregnancy test as a joke, I mean, you know, sometimes people just, you know, fuck around and find out.
That's the joke part, not the...
Yeah, so if a man actually has high levels of HCG in his urine, he needs to run to the doctor. He could have cancer in his balls.
I think then, why isn't that a standard test, like every once a year? Or is there a other standard test for it?
The basic thing to do is to check your balls, like do self-examination. Especially in the 30s and the 50s, these are two peaks we see. So people should be especially...
Oh, no. Oh man. Okay.
Pani likha hai, pani likha hai, garmi ho rahi
hai. Ye Zepto pe milta hai kya?
What testing?
Yeah, so that I may not have won the quiz, but I have given you this.
Yeah, like you can't.
I wish you had won the quiz instead.
But yeah, so that was the story of DJ Cooper. There's another really interesting story. And this was a, I think this, the next story is basically like India in its all its beauty. There was a 100-meter race final at the Delhi State Championships. This happened just a couple of months back. And 100-meter final. And eight runners had officially qualified. And the night before, they came to know that there will be urine samples which will be taken by NADA, which I believe is National Anti-Doping Agency. Out of the eight, these are finals, right, of Delhi State, this thing. Out of eight, seven pulled out, saying they injured, they are not participating. And there was one kid called Lalit Kumar who ran alone. And now this is where it becomes so beautiful of, you know, what India is so amazing. This person did not get a gold because official rules state that no medals or certificates are awarded in a race conducted with less than three participants. So since his race was conducted by just himself, he did not even win a gold.
Oh no.
And
I thought like he was the only one who participated and then his test comes out like positive for doping. Like,
no, he was the only one who went for the doping test and his test came out clean. Everyone else refused to just participate, let alone go for the doping test. And of course, a lot of people then, you know, like Anand Mahindra sees these things like Shining India. So he put up a tweet and saying like, "Are Bharat ka bhavishya aisa hi chahe," all of this. But I thought this was beautiful. Like this guy did the right thing. And there was like rightfully, I mean, it is an impressionable age. He is a teenager. And if doping is so rampant that 7 out of 8 people are doing it. And in fact, some journalists went behind the scenes and saw the bathrooms. They were actually like needles which had been just freshly used before the races.
Yikes.
And if that is happening, this kid is, you know, standing by his sort of values, ki nahi, I will not do it. But then he does not get the award because 3 se kam logo ne kiya tha, so you don't get a gold for it. And at this point, I'll just quickly drop in with a quick reminder to our listeners right now. Since you have been listening so far, we're going to guess and say that you're enjoying the show. So please, please do share your appreciation with us by sharing this podcast with your friends, families, and followers. Do tag our 2 special guests today. Let them know how much you enjoyed it. We all will love that. And yes, do follow the podcast. Wherever you're listening to the podcast, whichever platform you're listening to it, just drop a follow. We have more special episodes coming for you. So pretty sure you're going to enjoy those too. Moving on. We're moving towards the last set of questions so we can like
wrap it up quickly. Hey, you're losing, Chris. I only know things about sex and sex education and reproduction.
It is actually right now, it's 3-2.
What?
It's 3-2 right now.
I should get half a
There's
point.
There's a half and half. There's a half given there. So it's 3-2. Two questions are. There's still a chance that the last question goes out to
both. Last time half mila tha.
वो मैं तब दूंगा इफ इट्स लाइक अ टाई थिंग तब मैं
नॉनसेंस
प्रणव द नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन इज अबाउट अ मशीन व्हिच इज सेड टू हैव ओरिजिनेटेड इन द कोर्ट ऑफ लुई 15th ऑफ फ्रांस
ओके
सो लॉन्ग टाइम बैक बेसिकली एट दैट टाइम दिस मशीन बोर अ रॉयल इंसिग्निया टू सिंबलाइज दैट दिस बिलोंग टू द रॉयल कोर्ट एंड दिस मशीन टू बी एबल टू you know, like to function, it had to be manually bent to be able to be used. Manually bent. The modern version came in the 19th century when a certain George McGill patented a prototype in 1866. If you're interested, the US patent number was 56587.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, origins are from the court of Louis XV of France, then Mr. George McGill in 1866 patented it. Mr. George McGill also patented later, much later, a single stroke press, an improved version of his previous design, but it could only work once before needing to be reloaded. Unlike the present versions, it wasn't handy either, and all these versions had to be bent manually to complete the process. So I've given a lot of vague information to you, so I'll just try to make it streamlined. What I'm talking about is sort of the evolution of this particular device.
Okay.
Origin was with Louis XV ka coat. It had the royal insignia. At that time, to be able to use it, you had to manually bend it. Then came George McGill's patent. Again, you had to manually bend it. Then he did another version in which you had to manually bend a piece, but he introduced something which was a single stroke. So single stroke, then you manually bend the piece. So all of these were improvements, but still it wasn't really a very easy device to carry and to use. Later, one notable name who comes up is one guy called Henry Heil, Henry H.E. Weil, who made the version in which you manually did not have to bend the piece, and thus it became the product that we all use pretty easily around the world.
So you need this product.
We
all use it.
We all have used it. Maybe some still do use it. I think what I would say is that ever since, you know, internet happened and things have gone digital, we have used them a bit less.
Okay. Manually bend it. Single.
The name.
You said the 18th, yeah. When was the first one?
Louis 15th ka church. If you want, I can look up when was Louis 15th of France.
No. That's fine. I know the general timeline.
1700. So basically.
Yeah.
And 1866 is when the first patent came. Then same guy made another patent. This time he made a single stroke patent. And then the version that we use today is Henry Heil. Henry Heil removed the need to manually bend this particular piece which was involved in this thing. It might be a bit of a tough question.
And you said since the time of internet, we've started using it less and less.
Yeah. Ever since computers and digital, you know, everything has gone digital. So we're using it less and less. But it still exists.
Okay.
You all will recognize it. You all must have used it.
Okay. The first thing that's coming to my mind, but it's probably not because it doesn't make sense with internet. It makes sense with computers, but doesn't make sense with internet. I was going to say typewriter is my first thing, but like it doesn't make sense. So
it's not really with to do with internet, but with computers, basically. It's not to do with internet, but I was talking about this rather internet age and computers and everything going digital is what I meant.
Single stroke also makes sense with the type keypad.
That's what I was thinking also.
Because single stroke in a typewriter, but bending, what do you have to bend in that? Okay, I'll just say typewriter.
No, it's not typewriter. It's I can see how you... Interesting. I don't know if... I actually don't know what the evolution of calculator has been. Like ever since Casio made it or whoever made it, I don't know what came before that. It's not calculator. It is a much more simpler... Now I'll just put it, make it easier. It's a much more sort of a... Okay, let me use the word stationary.
Oh. Yeah, is it like a...
Sharpener?
No, no.
Close. Like, well, I mean, not really, but yeah, it's still stationary.
Is it like an ink pen? Because you had to bend the nibs to like form the, like in a, but then it wouldn't have like a Royal Insignia. Okay. Ink pens?
No. Okay. Stapler? There, you had to bend a
stapler.
So for the longest time in history, when they would staple things, they would then, wo wires that come out, right?
Yeah.
You had to bend them manually to so that close it.
Ah.
It was only when this Henry Heil guy came, he made a stapler where the wires which poke out get closed together.
Okay, nice.
So for the longest time, we after stapling, we actually had to sit and make sure that those wires get closed so that the papers don't come out. It is the history of how staplers have existed. The word stapler first appeared in 1901 in the American magazine Munsey's to describe a machine that fastens paper together using a metal wire. Mm-hmm. So back then, the metal wire used to be open-ended and you had to close it manually.
Iska point milega kya?
Haan, nahin, iska nahin milega. But yeah, nice try, nice
try. Kyun nahin milega? Maine sahi answer diya.
But wo hint ke baat tha. Okay, the next question. This is towards the last end of it. August 2023, California Public Utilities Commission. She gets all these like French Atomic Energy Commission. California Public Utilities Commission. The California Public Utilities Commission allowed self-driving taxis to operate in San Francisco at all hours and charge fares. Now, a number of problems arose from this issue, like getting into the way of emergency responders. So, cars would drive and they would get in the way of emergency responders. Or these cars would not be able to work under extreme traffic conditions, like, say, if there's a music festival and, like, thousands of people are coming out. These cars would not be able to function properly. Their sensors would not be able to do the necessary job. So, of course, there were many protesters of these self-driving cars. Activists now are using an interesting or rather funny method to protest against these self-driving cars. Protesters are using a common item associated with road transportation and putting it on the sensors of these robo-taxi cars. The robo-taxi cars are programmed in such a way that when they see this object as an obstacle, they just stop and do not move. Now this use has caught up. Even firefighters are doing this so as to stop these self-driving cars from moving into emergency situations. What object are these protesters using to stop these cars? So basic idea is these self-driving cars are being used as taxis. And although they do work most of the time, but every once in a while when they don't, they cause a lot of damage. So there are a lot of people who are protesting these self-driving cars. And how they protest is they just put something in front of it. And these cars have been told that if you see this, that's an obstacle in front of you. you do not move, you just stop. And this thing has caught up where even the firefighters, if they are going through the city or if they are fighting fire, they just put these up in front of their sort of location so that no car just rams into them. What object that we all have seen are these protesters using to stop these cars?
Does this object have wheels on it?
Does it have wheels on it?
I'm thinking like a wheelchair or a pram.
Nice answer. But no, it's much more common.
Or is it like an orange traffic cone?
Would you like to give it a shot?
Yeah, I was going to say cones, the orange cones, because there was a protest that was done using those cones. And some even dubbed it like the VLC protest or something.
Between the two of you, you get it right. It is the traffic cones. And that was my additional trivia that going to be that people started comparing it to VLC car player. And, you both get half for it.
So I think, wait, why don't I get the full point?
Hey, I said it first. I said orange traffic cone first. Go back to the recording and see.
You already said wheelchairs and you
have exhausted. I asked a question. I said, does it have wheels? And the next thing I said was, is it orange traffic cones? While you were okay. saying, is it that cone thing?
Yeah, fair point, Pranav. Okay. I will keep this in mind. Fair pride.
Hey, balls. I don't listen.
Listen, last time you
have
mentioned
been
balls,
unfair to me.
I got information that I had not bargained to when I was.
Not what?
Like this information, I'm still not over the fact that 30s is the age when you get testicular cancer.
You should give me an extra point. I'm probably saving your life and so many other people's lives who are listening to this.
Like that is like, thank you for that.
I get my point.
Like I'll find a pregnancy test to be on soon enough. Pranav, your last question coming up. Fairly simple. It's about a video game.
Oh, great. Haven't played video games ever, but...
It's the first video game to have been played in space.
Oh, wow.
A Game Boy version. Game Boy was those small, handy video game players. A Game Boy version of this game spent more than 150 days orbiting the Earth on the Russian Mir space station. That's when it became the first video game to be played in space. Possibly to kill time, the... astronauts or the cosmonauts must have taken it with them. Now, this is where it gets interesting. This game is fairly popular. In fact, there are some clinical psychology studies based on this game. One is an effect which is named after the game, which talks about how the game can trick the brain into involuntarily picturing different combinations even when the player is not playing. So, for example, very vague example, but you know how Desi men play cricket whenever they see an empty corridor?
Yeah.
But here, it is a video game. Even when you are not playing the video game, you start visualizing the patterns and the combinations even when you're not playing. And people have studied this and they call it the effect named after the game. In computer science... this game is commonly used to analyze the computational complexity of problems, including real-life problems. It has been said that a real-life offline version of this game might be helpful in improving people's sort of problem-solving capabilities. And finally, in 2023, Apple TV released a movie telling the story of the creation of this game, the race to file a patent during the Cold War, and its subsequent effects. So it's quite an interesting history. Even when the game was being built and the patent process was happening, there was like a bit of Cold War drama in the middle. Then the game became quite a big hit. It seems to be something which you can't just like play and forget. It takes over in a way. It has said to have done that. And finally, people are looking at it and seeing how does it impact our brain and what's so special about this game. You have to tell me, what game is this?
Okay, let's see if we can work the clues. So you said patterns. Patterns gives me two games. Actually,
you have to give me one answer. You have to give me one answer.
Like, No. I'm working towards it. Okay. But you said Apple as well. So, and Steve Jobs was known to play. Actually, Steve Wozniak was known to play this. I'll say Tetris. I think Steve Jobs or Steve Wozniak was one of them. Was like the highest scorer, and they used to use their name, but like Ulta. just so that people wouldn't know that it's them playing the game. And since Apple put it out, also, like, it has to be an iconic game if Apple made, like, a whole thing about it. I was thinking Pac-Man or Tetris, but Tetris fits the bill better, so I'll say Tetris.
Yeah. Tetris is the correct answer. I did not know of this Jobs/Wozniak bit of trivia. But yeah, Tetris is the answer. The first video game in space. And the Tetris effect is the effect where once you've stopped playing the game, even if you're trying to sleep, people could not sleep because they could see patterns, Tetris patterns in their sleep.
Oh, wow.
And they sought out help. And that is when people started...
That's my mom with Candy Crush.
One could say it's a similar idea, right? Yeah, it's like rows and columns of shiny thingies coming through. So yeah, that's what people realize. And then there were studies on it. And people also said that it can maybe, if we can create an offline version of it, it can help people with improving their problem-solving capabilities. And that was the correct answer. And as we move to the last question, here is a quick something that I want the audience to pay attention to. Have you ever had a spooky, scary ghost adventure? If yes, then do listen till the end of the show. I have something for you. It is something really cool. It's a podcast at the end of the show. But for now, we continue. Now, with this, we move to the final question. The final question is open to both of you.
Please, is baar koi bhari sawal mat dena. Please, I need an easy question. Hai.
It's about etymology.
Okay.
Ooh, and I love it.
We go.
I'm happy.
It's bhari, but it goes into a lot of things.
I used to teach English using etymology, so I might probably be okay here and not as lucky as I've been otherwise. But anyway.
No, you've been fun. You've been fun.
You've been terrific. What are you saying?
Balls. Please.
I thought he's going to say terrible. I thought he's trash talking. Even terrible. I was like, oh, he's going to do that. Terrible.
Yeah, Tanaya, you've been like just horrible. Straight up just like fucking like bombing the shit. So
I'm the best at being the worst, please.
No, you've been absolutely terrific. But every time, please, let's stop saying balls because I'm going back to that test. Every time you say that, I'm just like, God, I have to get that done.
Yeah, are you really the winner if you know you could have possibly? No, let's not go there. Anyways. The last question. The score seems to be 3-1, then 3.5, 1.5, then 2.5, 3.5, and then 2.5. Oh, you got 2 back-to-back. So you are, I think, 2.5, 4.5. So probably Pranav will go through, but the last question is still up for grabs. It's 4.5, 2.5. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's 4.5, 2.5.
The real winner is cricket, right?
Sorry. Yeah, because Ravi Shastri said so.
Have I only answered 2 answers correctly?
You gave lots of half answers. Like, abhi main unko calculate karta rahunga.
Achha, theek hai.
So I'm like, coming back to this question, you both can give out the answer. The one who gives the answer first is the winner.
Why? He gets one more extra question also.
You can also answer it, then you get the point. So I wanted, like, just in case if it's a tiebreaker.
Hey, you can go first if you want.
We're talking about... Achha, chalo. You guys are being... apna game khel lo, aap log.
Haare huye sipahi ka pair kaat rahe ho tum.
I thought you were saying, I'll take your supari or something.
We've spoken about balls enough.
Main pair ki baat kar rahi hu, please. Oh, yeah. Get your mind out of the gutter.
There's one bit in this question which might be slightly difficult to explain, but I'll try. So this word derives from the word that we know it as today, that the word that we use today. We found out that this word derives from, the current word derives from the old English word. The old English word derives from Latin and possibly Greek, going back centuries. And if we go further in time, and if we see how words have traveled, it seems that this word was originally Dravidian of origin. Because what the word means today, the name, the old name, the Dravidian name basically means the same thing, but there's a prefix of long added to it, like a longer version of it.
It's Dravidian, not Sanskrit.
The original is Dravidian. The original is Dravidian. And in fact, even the Sanskrit version of the name means the same thing. So we that establishes the fact that it this thing originated from coastal parts of India.
Wait, can you like summarize the...
I'll repeat. I want to avoid using the letters X, Y, Z, but this word, let's call it X, derives from Old English, which itself is a derivation from Latin and Greek going back to centuries. But the origin is most likely a Dravidian word meaning long X.
Okay.
Like a lamba version of X. Even its Sanskrit equivalent shares the same meaning. This establishes the fact that this word possibly originated in the coastal parts of India. And then it traveled all over the world through Greek, through Latin, to Old English, to finally the word how we use it now. This object was part of the earliest trade between the West and East, ranging back from the Mauryan Empire and its relationship with the Greeks. So goes back to 300 BC, if I'm not mistaken, even further. It was so coveted that when one person called Alaric, A-L-A-R-I-C-H, he was a leader of a tribe or a sort of a nation state called the Goths, Gothic, wahi se aata hai. They laid siege on Rome in 408 AD. So Alaric and his army of Goths laid siege on Rome in 408 AD. They demanded a ransom to let go of Rome. Among a lot of important, you know, what you would expect as a ransom, like money, jewelry, gold, diamonds, all those things, this item got 3,000 pounds was also asked for because it was so coveted back then. And this item has also played a significant role in the trade dynamics of European colonialism. So you have to tell me, what is this item or what is this word?
Is it pepper?
That has shaped so much.
Any is it pepper?
Reasons, how did you get there?
Because...
If I may.
Okay, so coastal you're saying. Secondly, you're saying long wars have been fought for it. Pepper was one of those things, I think. I'm forgetting the name, but there was
also long pepper.
Yeah, and there's a long pepper as well.
And pepari is what it used to be called. Pepari was the long pepper, and that gave rise to pepper.
Yes, that is the correct answer. Pepper is the word that I was looking for. This is the origin of pepper. And Alaric clearly realized that pepper was important to make his food tasty, which a lot of people, Europeans over that time realized. And hence, pepper was one of the most coveted materials back in the day. And of course, then colonialism happened.
I think long pepper is what led me there, to be honest.
Yeah, the minute he said long X, I was like, yeah, this has to be pepper.
Yeah, same thing.
But since I had said you go first.
He said coastal and long, pepper.
Because I had said you go first, I was like, fuck. I am again faulted by my own... words. Jo bhi main kehna chahu barbaad kare Altaf. What is it? Altaf mere, right?
Alfaz mere.
Alfaz. See, that's what... This is like a literal example of that again.
I was struggling with the question. Yeah.
The only thing I know is reproduction or food history or etymology. Iske aage mujhe kuch nahi aata hai.
I had fun with it.
That's good enough. That's 90% of the shit that you should know.
Very
if
primal.
If you know what you're eating, where is it from? If you know what you're eating, where is it from? And if you know about your body, I think you're better than me at
primal.
Least.
Primal. Extremely primal.
Now you know about traffic cones and sono chemistry and Backstreet Boys' origin story and YouTube's origin story. But thank you so much, both of you, for taking out the time, for sort of encouraging me to do this and for... sehofying me through this.
It was really fun. But also, what's the score?
It was so much fun.
The score is in favor of Pranav. Pranav, we will get you back to the show someday. Tanaya, you are always welcome. See, Tanaya, I'll tell you, considering I produce your podcast, you will get enough chances to take badla with me.
No, I said seppuku. I'm disemboweling myself. Nothing else.
I'm just trying to imagine people listening to this, what they're going to feel when they hear Tanaya's sounds that she just made right now.
Oh, no. It's okay. I've done worse things on the internet.
Oh, boy.
Thank And that brings us to the end of the episode. I am pretty sure you got to discover some cool trivia and also hopefully enjoy the banter. We will be back next week with a very, very special episode that we are actually working on right now as we speak. It'll have questions, it'll have stories, it'll have trivia, it'll have everything that you hopefully enjoy about this show. This was Brain Fry, and before we go, there is one last matter which is of the audience question. Last week on the show, we had an audience question as always, and we have also picked one winner. The question was, who is the youngest person to have ever won a Filmfare award? And there was a hint, which was basically that this person is not an Indian. The correct answer was the singer Nazia Hassan, and she is from Pakistan. Nazia Hassan was a singer along with her brother Zohaib, I believe his name was, and they came up with some of the biggest hits in the 80s. One of those hits was Disco Diwane, which was remade in Karan Johar's Student of the Year. I think that was the first one. So the correct answer was Nazia Hassan, and the correct answer was given by Anish Bagchi. Anish, please reach out to us and we will figure out a way to get your prize to you. And this week's audience question is also from the world of music. We start out with Metallica, the band Metallica, the heavy metal band, the thrash metal band. They wrote a song called Moth Into a Flame. They wrote it for a brilliant yet troubled singer. I won't call them a pop artist, but like I'll just call them a singer for now. So you have to tell me which personality did Metallica write the song Moth Into a Flame for. It's a very interesting song. Do listen to it also. And of course, if you know the person who they wrote it for, it makes for a very interesting listen. Send in your answers on social media. We are @ PodStudio41 across all platforms, and we are on email studio41podcast@gmail.com. That's studio followed by the letters 41podcast@gmail.com. That is all for today. My name is Aditya Mattu, and I am your quiz master, host and producer of the show. Editing, sound design and original music by Mukubai. The quiz masters for this episode were Shakti Shetty, Dr. Ashwini Natu, Mondeep Ahir, Keshav, Kaushik, Pranjal, Ayush and Ananda. Ananda also helped in the overall framing of the questions and the flow of the episode. So a big thank you to everyone who was involved. One last important thing before we go. Once again, I have been working with a podcast called Spooked, in which I have to find first-hand paranormal stories from India. So if you are from India or the Indian subcontinent, please do reach out to me on social media @podcaststudio41 or on email at studio41podcast@gmail.com. Yes, social media is Insta, Twitter, it's all the same, @podcaststudio41, and on email it is studio41podcast@gmail.com. You can also, by the way, share your feedback on these IDs. Also, if there is a question or a trivia heavy story that you think will suit the podcast, please do share it with me on the same IDs that I mentioned before. That is all for today. See you next week. Thank you for your time. You can thank me for mine.